Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does it mean to you to be seen? I will tell you what it means to me. To be seen means to be acknowledged, to be recognized, to be accepted, even if you're not fully understood. A person who sees, truly sees another person, recognizes and accepts who they are, whether or not they understand them. A person doesn't have to have the same experiences or perspectives of the other person in order to see them, to recognize them, to honor them, and value them. A person who sees another person sees who they are and has no need to change that. To be seen, then, is a powerful thing. To be seen is, in a way, to come into existence or to come into fuller existence. I fell a couple of days ago. No one saw me do it except the dogs, but it did happen even though it wasn't seen. I was standing in the family room next to my walker with one hand on the walker and the other holding a cup of water I was trying to drink, and all of a sudden the walker wobbled, which meant I wobbled, and the next thing I knew I was falling, and I was falling backwards, which is a horrible feeling. And I fell all the way backwards onto the floor, and I can remember screaming, but I don't know if I started screaming as I fell or if I started screaming once I hit the floor. I just remember that I didn't stop for a while. And the whole time I was screaming, I lay there on the floor and kept my eyes closed as I cried. I guess I was scared to open my eyes because I was afraid what I might see. I was afraid to see that I had hurt myself really badly. The other reason I didn't open my eyes was that as soon as I hit the floor, two puppies were immediately in my face, both of them licking my eyes and my tears. Little creatures of God who did see, after all. I could hear Paul running down the stairs, and then I could hear him beside me, and he said, "I'm here." And then I opened my eyes, and I saw his face over me, filled with concern, which also looks like love. And then I looked at myself, and I discovered I was okay. I mean, I could tell I was going to be aching in several places in the coming days, and I was right about that. But I had not hit my head, and I hadn't broken anything. I didn't sprain anything or tear anything. I did spill water all over the place, but that was it. Paul and the puppies saw me, and I could see myself too, and I could see that I was all right. I mean, not as fully all right as I would like to be. Not healed in the way I want to be healed, but surrounded by love and okay enough for now. In our gospel story this morning, we get Jesus' last healing in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem with a community of followers and a crowd of others, and they came into the old fortified city of Jericho, the lush, green, fought-over city where walls once came tumbling down. It was the last stop on the road to Jerusalem. Leading out of Jericho, the 15-mile stretch of road towards Jerusalem would have been a good place for beggars to set up and ask for help from pilgrims on their way to the holy city. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd headed out of Jericho and towards Jerusalem, a man named Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. He heard the commotion. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is the first time in Mark's gospel that this name, Son of David, has been used for Jesus. The blind man perceived something about Jesus that no one else could see. Jesus is seen by Bartimaeus. And what Bartimaeus sees is that this is the Son of David, the heir of David, the true king, the Messiah. The next time we will hear Jesus called Son of David, he will be entering Jerusalem on a donkey while crowds of people shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But for now, the blind man is the only one who sees who Jesus really is. And the crowd tries to shush him. They order him to be quiet. Just as the disciples tried to do with the people who brought their little children to Jesus, so now the crowd does with this blind beggar. They want to shut him down. Even beggars are supposed to have a protocol. Stay on your knees. Look pitiful. Say please. Not this guy. Not this time. Sometimes a person has to demand to be seen. So Bartimaeus screams even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops. He stands still, silence, and then, "Call him here." So now the people who had been trying to silence Bartimaeus call out to him saying, "Take courage, get up, he's calling to you." And Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and leaps up. Now his cloak was his livelihood. It's what a beggar would spread out to receive alms. And it's what a beggar would use to protect himself from the elements. The one thing this man needed to survive, he throws aside, leaves it behind, jumps up blind, and runs to Jesus, almost as if he has seen something about what he really needs to survive. And now Jesus asks this man the same thing we heard him ask last week of his disciples, James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, as we heard last week, James and John answered with aspirations of power and position. But Bartimaeus answers, "My teacher, let me see." James and John, who had seen and heard all that Jesus had done and said, could not see who he really was, what he had really come for. He had renounced social power. He had resisted the systems of political and religious domination. He had subverted traditional understandings about wealth, power, and security. He had challenged boundaries that excluded and marginalized, and still the disciples could not see what he was trying to show them or who he was. Right after he told them he would suffer and die, they asked for positions of power. In contrast, the blind man, struggling to be seen and heard over a crowd who wanted to erase and silence him, cries out for what he actually needs. The difference between the disciples and the blind man was that the blind man knows he can't see. "My teacher, let me see." And Jesus answers, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And what is his faith? His faith is not some certain knowledge. It is not a set of beliefs. It has nothing to do with doctrine or dogma. His faith is a seeking. His faith is a stepping forward in the dark in hopes that he will gain sight. His faith is a knowledge of his own need and blindness. His faith is a struggle against the people and the systems and the assumptions and the challenges that would keep him shut down and in his place. His faith is a pushing. His faith is an asking. His faith is based on knowing he is in need. His faith is the yearning that pushes him forward over ground he cannot see, towards the voice of a healer he cannot see. In other words, his faith is hope. And the voice of the healer speaks, "Go, your faith has made you well." And suddenly the man can see. And the first thing he sees is the face of love. And even though that face, that person, that Jesus had just told him, "Go," what this man does is follow. Up until this story in Mark, every time Jesus heals someone, he tells people not to tell anyone. Maybe he doesn't want too much attention. Maybe he knows the healings will raise too many questions. Maybe he knows people won't understand. Whatever his reasons, he's consistent. He heals, and then he says, "Don't tell anyone." But not this time. This time, in this last healing story in Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't try to keep it quiet. He's on his way to Jerusalem now, on his way to the cross. And in a way, this final healing is the inauguration of that journey, the inauguration of his journey towards suffering and death. There will be no more secrets about who this man is and what he has come for. Eyes will be opened. Truth will be revealed. He will be seen, at least by some. So Jesus continued towards Jerusalem from Jericho, and just as he predicted, he would be arrested, condemned, mocked, flogged, and killed. And Bartimaeus followed him on that road and surely saw terrible things he wished he could unsee, and still he followed. I mean, what else can you do once your eyes have been opened? And what you have seen looking back at you is the face of love. What else can you do when you see that you have been seen? So Bartimaeus followed this man where he went. And once he could see, he could not choose to be blind to some things. He couldn't choose only to see what was lovely and never what was difficult or cruel or called for courage or required repentance. He had been seen, which meant he had a responsibility now to see the truth of other people and their realities. True vision always calls us towards that. When our eyes are opened, we see the reality of things we cannot control. We see the truth about how power works in our world. We see lies spun as truth. We see hurt. We see pain. We see dark and difficult and even evil things. We see people. And sometimes we despair. But if we keep our eyes open, we also see this. We see the face of love in the thousands of ways it comes to us, including in the faces of other people, including in the faces of tiny non-human creatures, too. And we hear the voice of love asking us, "What do you want from me?" And if we're truthful, we know what we need. We need hope. We need healing, even though healing does not necessarily mean what we think it's supposed to mean. We need to be made whole. We need our world to be made well. We need people to be made well, which means we need to see. We have to be able to see. We have to want to see just as much as we want and need to be seen. The Zulu people in South Africa greet each other with the word "sawubona." A way of saying hello, literally it means, "I see you." It's more than hello. It's a way of saying, "I see you as you are, and you are important to me, and I value you." And the response is, "Sikhona," which means, "I am here," or "I exist." In a sense, it's a way of saying, "Until you see me, I don't fully exist. By seeing me, you bring me into existence. We become present to each other." Sawubona, sikhona. I see you. I am here. How much healing, how much wholeness, how much hope could we nurture in this world if we could let our eyes be opened and if we could start like this and respond like this, "I see you and I am here." So much depends on seeing. And to be seen is a powerful thing. There's so much awfulness in this world that we cannot fix, so much hurt that we cannot heal, including our own. But we can do this. We can show up. And we can admit our own blindness. And we can cry out our own need, even if it means screaming. And we can ask for God's help to see. And then we can do it. We can see. We can choose to be present and pay attention. When someone is hurting and we can't fix it, we can still see them. We can sit next to them and say, I am here. We can make the choice to see each other. We can make the choice to let ourselves be seen, even when it feels vulnerable. And we can let this kind of small miracle happen in our lives every day, seeing and being seen. We can let our faces become the faces of love that others need to see. And we can let our voices be the ones that say, I see you. And I am here.